Numbers 30 through Numbers 31. Then Moses spoke to the heads of the tribes of the sons of Israel, saying, "This is the word which the Lord has commanded. If a man makes a vow to the Lord, or takes an oath to put himself under a binding obligation, he shall not break his word. He shall act in accordance with everything that comes out of his mouth. And if a woman makes a vow to the Lord, and puts herself under a binding obligation in her father's house, in her youth, and her father hears her vow, and her obligation under which she has put herself, and her father says nothing to her, then all her vows shall remain valid, and every binding obligation under which she has put herself shall remain valid. But if her father expresses disapproval to her on the day he hears it, none of her vows or her obligations under which she has put herself shall remain valid, and the Lord will forgive her, because her father has expressed disapproval to her. However, if she happens to marry while under her vows, or the impulsive statement of her lips by which she has obligated herself, and her husband hears of it, and says nothing to her on the day he hears it, then her vows shall remain valid, and her binding obligations under which she has put herself shall remain valid. But if, on the day her husband hears it, he expresses disapproval to her, then he will annul her vow which she is under, and the impulsive statement of her lips by which she has obligated herself, and the Lord will forgive her. But as for the vow of a widow or of a divorced woman, every binding obligation under which she has put herself shall remain valid against her. However, if a married woman vowed in her husband's house, or put herself under a binding obligation with an oath, and her husband heard it, but said nothing to her, and did not express disapproval to her, then all her vows shall remain valid, and every binding obligation under which she put herself shall remain valid. But if her husband actually annuls them on the day he hears them, then no utterance from her lips concerning her vows or the obligation she put on herself shall remain valid. Her husband has annulled them, and the Lord will forgive her. Every vow and every binding oath to humble herself, her husband may confirm it or her husband may annul it. But if her husband in fact says nothing to her from day to day, then he confirms all her vows or all her binding obligations which are on her. He has confirmed them, because he said nothing to her on the day he heard them. However, if he actually annuls them after he has heard them, then he shall bear the responsibility of her guilt. These are the statutes which the Lord commanded Moses concerning matters between a man and his wife, and between a father and his daughter, while she is in her youth in her father's household. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Take vengeance on the Midianites for the sons of Israel. Afterward you will be gathered to your people." So Moses spoke to the people, saying, "Arm men from among you for the war, so that they may go against Midian, to execute the Lord's vengeance on Midian. You shall send 1,000 from each tribe, of all the tribes of Israel, to the war." So there were selected from the thousands of Israel 1,000 from each tribe, 12,000 armed for war. And Moses sent them, 1,000 from each tribe, to the war, and Phinehas, the son of Eleazar the priest, to war with them, and the holy implements and the trumpets for the alarm in his hand. So they made war against Midian, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. And they killed every male. They killed the kings of Midian, along with the rest of those killed, Evi, Rechem, Zur, Hur, and Ribah, the 5 kings of Midian. They also killed Balaam, the son of Beor, with the sword. And the sons of Israel took captive the women of Midian, and their little ones, and they plundered all their cattle, all their flocks, and all their property. Then they burned all their cities where they lived and all their encampments. And they took all the plunder and all the spoils, both of people and of livestock. They brought the captives and the spoils and the plunder to Moses, to Eleazar the priest, and to the congregation of the sons of Israel, to the camp at the plains of Moab, which are by the Jordan opposite Jericho. And Moses, Eleazar the priest, and all the leaders of the congregation went out to meet them outside the camp. But Moses was angry with the officers of the army, the commanders of thousands and the commanders of hundreds, who had come from service in the war. And Moses said to them, "Have you spared all the women? Behold, they caused the sons of Israel, through the counsel of Balaam, to be unfaithful to the Lord in the matter of Peor, so that the plague took place among the congregation of the Lord. Now therefore, kill every male among the little ones, and kill every woman who has known a man intimately. However, all the girls who have not known a man intimately, keep alive for yourselves. And as for you, camp outside the camp for 7 days. Whoever has killed a person, and whoever has touched anyone killed, purify yourselves, you and your captives, on the 3rd day and on the 7th day. And you shall purify yourselves, every garment, every article of leather, every work of goat's hair, and every article of wood." Then Eleazar the priest said to the men of war who had gone to battle, "This is the statute of the law which the Lord has commanded Moses. Only the gold and the silver, the bronze, the iron, the tin, and the lead, everything that can withstand fire, you shall pass through the fire, and it will be clean. Only it shall be purified with water for impurity. But whatever cannot withstand the fire, you shall pass through the water, and you shall wash your clothes on the 7th day, and you will be clean, and afterward you may enter the camp." Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "You and Eleazar the priest, and the heads of the fathers' households of the congregation, take a count of the spoils that were captured, both of people and of livestock, and divide the spoils between the warriors who went to battle and all the congregation. Also, collect a tribute tax for the Lord from the men of war who went to battle, 1 in 500 of the persons, of the cattle, of the donkeys, and of the sheep. Take it from their half, and give it to Eleazar the priest, as an offering to the Lord. And from the sons of Israel's half, you shall take 1 drawn from every 50 of the persons, of the cattle, of the donkeys, and of the sheep, from all the animals, and give them to the Levites who perform the duty of the tabernacle of the Lord." Moses and Eleazar the priest did just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Now the spoils that remained from the plunder which the men of war had plundered was about 675,000 sheep, 72,000 cattle, 61,000 donkeys, and of captive people, of the women who had not known a man intimately, in all were 32,000 people. The half of the share of those who went to war was as follows. The number of sheep was 337,500. The Lord's tribute tax of the sheep was 675. The cattle were 36,000, from which the Lord's tribute tax was 72. The donkeys were 30,500, from which the Lord's tribute tax was 61. And the captive people were 16,000, from whom the Lord's tribute tax was 32 persons. And Moses gave the tribute tax, which was the Lord's offering, to Eleazar the priest, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. As for the sons of Israel's half, which Moses separated from the men who had gone to war, now the congregation's half was 337,500 sheep, 36,000 cattle, 30,500 donkeys, and the captive people were 16,000. From the sons of Israel's half, Moses took one drawn from every 50, both of the people and of animals, and gave them to the Levites, who performed the duty of the tabernacle of the Lord, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then the officers, who were over thousands of the army, the commanders of thousands, and the commanders of hundreds, approached Moses. And they said to Moses, "Your servants have taken a census of the men of war who are under our authority, and no man of us is missing. So we have brought as an offering to the Lord what each man found: articles of gold, armlets and bracelets, signet rings, earrings, and necklaces, to make atonement for ourselves before the Lord." Moses and Eleazar, the priest, took the gold from them, all kinds of crafted articles, all the gold of the offering which they offered up to the Lord, from the commanders of thousands and the commanders of hundreds, was 16,750 shekels. The men of war had taken plunder, every man for himself. So Moses and Eleazar, the priest, took the gold from the commanders of thousands and of hundreds, and brought it to the tent of meeting, as a memorial for the sons of Israel before the Lord. John 9. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man who had been blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the work of God might be displayed in him. We must carry out the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he said this, he spit on the ground and made mud from the saliva, and applied the mud to his eyes, and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which translated, "sent." So he left and washed, and came back seeing. So the neighbors and those who previously saw him as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the one who used to sit and beg?" Others were saying, "This is he." Still others were saying, "No, but he is like him." The man himself kept saying, "I am the one." So they were saying to him, "How then were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man who is called Jesus made mud and spread it on my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went away and washed, and I received sight." And they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought the man who was previously blind to the Pharisees. Now it was a Sabbath on the day that Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also were asking him again how he received his sight. And he said to them, "He applied mud to my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Therefore, some of the Pharisees were saying, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others were saying, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And there was dissension among them. So they said again to the man who was blind, "What do you say about him, since he opened your eyes?" And he said, "He is a prophet." So the Jews then did not believe it about him, that he had been blind and had received sight, until they called the very parents of the one who had received his sight, and they questioned him, saying, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? Then how does he now see?" His parents then answered and said, "We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know, or who opened his eyes, we do not know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already reached the decision that if anyone confessed him to be the Christ, that he was to be excommunicated from the synagogue. It was for this reason that his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." For a second time, they summoned the man who had been blind, and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He then answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." So they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You do not want to become his disciples too, do you?" They spoke abusively to him and said, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he is from." The man answered and said to them, "Well, here is the amazing thing, that you do not know where he is from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if someone is God-fearing and does his will, he listens to him. Since the beginning of time, it has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and yet you are teaching to us?" So they put him out. Jesus heard that they had put him out, and upon finding him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered by saying, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe him?" Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and he is the one who is talking with you." And he said, "I believe, Lord." And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, so that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Those who were with him from the Pharisees heard these things and said to him, "We are not blind too, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now that you maintain, we see, your sin remains." Second Corinthians 9. "For it is superfluous for me to write to you about this ministry to the saints, for I know your willingness, of which I boast about you to the Macedonians, namely, that Achaia has been prepared since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. But I have sent the brothers, in order that our boasting about you may not prove empty in this case, so that, as I was saying, you will be prepared. Otherwise, if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, not to mention you, would be put to shame by this confidence. So I considered it necessary to urge the brothers that they go on ahead to you and arrange in advance your previously promised generous gift, that the same would be ready as a generous gift, and not as one grudgingly given due to greediness. Now, I say this, the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows generously will also reap generously. Each one must do as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace overflow to you, so that, always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, 'He scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever.' Now, he who supplies the seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not fully supplying the needs of the saints, but it is also overflowing through many thanksgivings to God. Because of the proof given by this ministry, they will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for the liberality of your contribution to them and to all, while they also, by prayer on your behalf, yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. Thanks be to God for his undescribable gift. Proverbs 27:23-27. Know well the conditions of your flocks, and pay attention to your herds, for riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations. When the grass disappears, the new growth is seen, and the herbs of the mountains are gathered in. The lambs will be for your clothing, and the goats will bring the price of a field, and there will be enough goat's milk for your food, for the food of your household, and sustenance for your attendants. God, you are my God. I shall be watching for you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you. In a dry and exhausted land, where there is no water, so have I seen you in the sanctuary, to see your power and glory, because your favor is better than life. My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul is satisfied with fat and fatness, and my mouth offers praise with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, for you have been my help. In the shadow of your wings, I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand takes hold of me. But those who seek my life to destroy it will go into the depths of the earth. They will be turned over to the power of the sword. They will be a prey for foxes. But the king will rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him will boast. For the mouths of those who speak lies will be stopped.